let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver by H. Doyle Smith looks at economics through the eyes of a different definition. The standard interpretation of economics is defined as the distribution of scarce resources. That definition, a valid one, is driven by data. The different definition is the use of resources to accomplish objectives, and it is process-driven. Value in the first lies in the goods or service involved. Value in the second lies in the objective. Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver continues to explain what is involved in the different points of view. And back with us on This Week in America, the author, H. Doyle Smith, born and raised in North Carolina. Doyle has lived in 10 states, visited all but Hawaii, worked in 22 states as a CPA for 30 years, a corporate auditor, hospital controller, governmental personnel clerk, and real estate, many other fields. Most people have had 1 year's experience 60 times. Well, Doyle has had 60 years' experience and claims to know more about the workings of our country from working in it than anyone he knows. A graduate from the University of Arizona, Doyle received a master's degree in education from Western Carolina University and has studied for a doctorate in both economics and history. A pleasure to welcome back with us on This Week in America, H. Doyle Smith, author of Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. Doyle, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
I'm glad to be back.
And I always learn something when I have you on, and that's going to be the case today. I've been looking forward to talking about this in your book, Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. What inspired you to write the book? What was the motivation for writing this?
I finally realized from a book that I read called They Fought Alone by John Keats that the economics is based upon more than just money. In fact, to understand a barter, you have to understand that each person values certain things more than others, and the value is based upon the objective for which they're going to use it. If I get up in the morning and I'm hungry, I want to satisfy that hunger, I have a real value in an egg. And therefore, I go get the egg, and almost immediately after I've finished eating the egg, no eggs have no more value to me.
Exactly.
Now, the thing is, if we have an objective, we can accomplish a lot, but we have to have the resources to do the to accomplish the objective. What has happened in many places is that they are looking at the resource to come up with value, and it's necessary to have an objective. I was on a mountain in North Carolina, looking at across at a 100 acres tract, looking across a valley at a 100 acre tract that I had just put a down payment on. I looked around me and said, someday I'll own all this. Then the thought came to me. It's a very important thought. What am I going to do with it?
Yes.
And when I realized that I did not have a use for it, it lost all value to me. I even backed out of the deal.
Interesting. Our guest is H. Doyle Smith. The book is Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver, a very unique perspective. And that does get you thinking about things that we value in our lives. And it was interesting you had that thought and backed out of that deal for that land purchase. Doyle, what effect does monopoly have on the economy?
Usually monopoly accumulates everything in the hands of one person. That means there's no money available for people to use as a reference of value, and there's no money to make transactions. In 1930, we had the Smoot-Hawley Act. It was a very high tariff. And as a result, eventually all the gold in the world was hidden in Fort Knox. When it was hidden in Fort Knox, it could not be used to transfer food from Florida to New York. So the food was rotting in the fields in Florida, and New York was starving simply because there was no method by which you could get the resource to where the objective is required. The effect of monopoly is very serious because the increase in the value of in the accumulation,
yes,
is such that it removes the ability, moves the resources that the people need from their grasp. When we had the Sherman Antitrust Act in 1900, it was designed because people were not having enough money to pay their bills, nor were they able to accomplish anything. All of the resources they had was used to have food on the table, and they lived in the company's company buildings. That was a very bad situation for everyone but the monopolists. They changed it to require the Standard Oil Company to break into about 10 or 12 companies. And the competition between them brought the prices down to the point where people could buy the oil and therefore could use it.
Yes. H. Doyle Smith, our guest. The book is a fascinating read. Budget Your Gold, Not Your Silver. You'll find it BarnesandNoble.com, for example, all the usual places, Stratton-Press.com, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned resources there several times. What exactly are resources?
Anything that can be used to accomplish an objective. The resource for a lobbyist to be paid for his services is his connection to the people in power. That is a resource that you pay money to use to accomplish your job, your efforts to get your ideas across to these politicians. And we have relationships. We have locations. If you can't build a 40-foot boat in a 25-foot basement, you've got to have the location that you can use to build the boat. You have to have things. Now, things are a little different from locations because you can always make more of them. Locations are finite. You can only have one location. You can't eliminate it, and you can't, in other words, land is going to be there whether or not
yes.
anything else is around. But the value of that land depends on what you can do with it. If you can grow cotton, you grow cotton, it becomes a resource. And anything, no matter what it is, that can be used to accomplish an objective is a resource.
Let's take that a step further with our income tax laws. Are they effective now, and should they be changed, and how should we change them to make them more legitimate in terms of being an accurate reflection of income?
I had a customer come in one time at my accounting office who had just started a boutique. She had bought the inventory. She had it on sale. She sold half of it. The money that she had paid for the rest for the inventory could not be deducted except for those the amount of the cost for those things that she had sold. Therefore, she had to pay money to the tax service on money that she had already spent. The inventory at the end of the year should be deducted and then deducted as future income.
Yes.
Then added back on the next year's return as as income.
Yes.
Of course, if your inventory doesn't change much, that means only the change is involved. But if you've got the inventory, if you have to pay for the inventory, and then you have to pay tax on the money that you've already spent, that's not possible. Now, the other thing that is most critical, you buy equipment. It should be deducted immediately in the year that it's bought because the money has gone out. And if the money has gone out, you cannot turn around and spend it a second time. There should be a depreciation, just as there is now, that parallels this. And if a person has decided that it would last 5 years and it lasts only four, then the fifth year of depreciation would be have to be added back as income at the time that it's sold.
Yes.
The fun thing about that is you no longer have to worry about what the inventory is and how you value it, because all inventory will only be a deduction in 1 year and an increase in income in the next.
It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Now, there's another factor in this. I had a piece of property, 40 acres, and I decided I would log that off one acre at a time and then replant that 1 acre each year. I thought it was a real good idea. I had to buy trucks to work with, chainsaws. I had to put out nearly $2,500 in equipment to start work. I then found that none of that, except the depreciation portion for that year, could be deducted. As a result, I ended up using cleared the 40 acres because the taxes could not be paid using the more reasonable
yes
ideas.
There's so much
clear cutting is a real problem in some of these areas where the people have just gone in and cleared it off, and when they've done that, they have to replant, but they don't do it because it takes money.
There are so many issues that you bring up and bring up so well. The book by our guest on the program, H. Doyle Smith, is Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. You've mentioned objectives several times, and time is going by so quickly. That's why I'll recommend you get a copy of the book and understand all this for yourself. But what are we talking about? What are objectives?
If you have an objective, that is, perhaps you want to have a coat, well, you go to the store. Using your resources, you acquire the coat. That is an objective. Now, the objective disappears once it's fulfilled. And this is why you cannot use data when you're looking at it from the mega-economics side, because the objective has no value after it has been accomplished. And you have many, many objectives in your life. I feel hungry. My objective is to clear that hunger. I get something to eat. And the eat, what I get to eat is my resource. My objective is to eliminate hunger. And this is important that we know that everything we do, no matter what it is, there's an objective in it. A painter has the objective of having a beautiful painting. Now, he has to have paint, he has to have brushes. All of these are resources. But the objective is the finished painting.
There's so much to, and I wish we had like several hours to do justice to the topic, budget your goals, not your silver. You're going through this, I'm wondering, is there any morality in economics or even any logic sometimes in economics? Let's take the morality aspect. Is there morality in economics?
No, you don't have morality in economics. A prostitute uses her resource, her body, to acquire the resources she needs to live. It's not a case of being right or wrong. I don't approve of it. That's not my saying. I'm simply saying that this is a case in which economics is not, is actually blind to morality. Your economics occurs without regard to whether or not it's moral or not.
H. Doyle Smith is the author of the book Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. A couple minutes left on the program. Where does the minimum wage fit into all of this? How, what's the role of the minimum wage?
Let's go back to the time after the Civil War when John D. Rockefeller set the price of a barrel of oil at $28. If you wanted a barrel of oil, you paid $28. Everything else compared to that price of $28, and a dollar was worth 1/28 of a barrel of oil. Now, that was a set price that was available. Now, everybody used oil, and it was available, and it could not be hoarded. Now, there's four things there that I've mentioned. The minimum wage after World War II became the point of value for the dollar. Now, it started out as a dollar an hour. We, over time, continued to get more and more money involved in it. And there's another point that has to do with this. Everything that can be bought and will be bought is valued at something. The total value of all those is going to be exactly equal to the total of all the money that's available to buy it with. Now, as you get more money, your value of the individual dollar is reduced. Over the period of time, after World War II, as that got out of balance, they would increase the minimum wage to cause it to agree with what the value of the dollar should be. And we have done that up until about the 1960. In 1970, we had a case where the Democratic Congress voted to increase the value of the minimum wage from $1 to $1.60. All prices in the country went up by an amount to allow us to have a balance between the value of the money that we had and the value of the things that could be bought. That evened out at a higher level. But it was the minimum wage that is the reference point for our money at this time.
That's so fascinating, and a history lesson as well that you will learn in this book, Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. I've got a couple minutes left in the program. Not really enough time, but I want to ask it anyway, because you discussed this. Well, let's close with, what is an economic structure? Would you explain that to us?
An economic structure is a group of people who use the same valuation for everything and fit out their lives into that group of people who use the same money for the same purposes.
Okay.
It can be at any level. The economic structure includes everybody and everything that relies on that money or that economy. Now, an economic structure may not have anything to do with money. There is a movie called The Gods Must Be Crazy. The best thing in that movie is its definition of what is involved in the different economic structures. The Hottentots, one of the principal characters, had an economy that it was a family. They're what they needed, they took out of the ground, and what they and they lived off of the land, a desert. They knew how and they knew what. When he was, when Key, the character, was given money to pay for his services that he had given them, he walked away and threw the money to the winds. He had no use for the money. He was not in an economic structure that had money involved. At the same time, there were economic structures of the white Africans, the black Africans, and all of these, each one had a different way of looking at life.
It's just such a, I wish we had, again, a couple of hours, and maybe we can do continue this conversation. There's so much in the book, the new book by H. Doyle Smith, Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. In it, Doyle looks at economics through the eyes of a different definition and history along the way. This book is an excellent read on so many levels. Doyle, always a pleasure to have you back on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us. We hope we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us once again on the program.
And thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. H. Doyle Smith, the book Budget Your Goals, Not Your Silver. You'll find it the usual places, Barnes & Noble, Stratton-Press.com, and all of these available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A link there as well to get information on Doyle's book and be able to order it as well. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.